The show's Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our show today is full of choral music, beginning with a German quintet called Kalmus. They are they sing a cappella, and they're going to be at the Krannert Center in Urbana Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And then I'll be talking with Julie Beiler, who is director of Champagne's The Chorale. They're giving a Sunday night concert at 7 o'clock at McKinley Presbyterian Church with guest conductor Craig Jessup, formerly of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. And so it should be some very nice music for you today and hopefully some good conversation. I'm sure of that. Stay tuned. So nun der Geist des, der Jesum von den Toten auferweckt hat und in euch wohnet, ist nicht sein Gehirn. My guests on this portion of Live and Local are Tobias Puscher and Joe Rösler, who are both members of the vocal ensemble called Kalmus, who are going to be at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana this Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And they're from Leipzig, Germany, and they do a wonderful wonderfully varied mix of unaccompanied vocal music, and we're very pleased to have you both on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And do I understand correctly that you're all former members of the St. Thomas School, a boys' choir in Leipzig?
No, but the
not anymore,
members
huh?
of Kalmus were all St. Thomas boys' choir choristers, and but there were some changes in Kalmus in the last years. So Kalmus exists since 11 years, and but there is the rich tradition of the St. Thomas Boys Choir is still in Kalmus, and we are doing a lot of this traditional German choir music these days. So Bach and Reger and Brahms are still in our repertoire.
And Mendelssohn, you certainly do.
Yes,
Schumann.
Of course.
And these are all composers who have, at least the ones you mentioned, certainly have close associations with Leipzig.
Yeah.
Maybe especially Bach, because he was at St. Thomas Kirche, St. Thomas Church, for a long time. Where did you two get your vocal training?
I am a former member of the Dresdner Kreuzchor, which is also a famous Saxony boys' choir, only 100 kilometers away from Leipzig, and with a nearly 800-year tradition. So it's quite near the St. Thomas boys' choir.
Yeah, and I am not a member from the I was not a member from in the St. Thomas Boys Choir as well. I came from a very different background. I lived in Hamburg in my early years and worked with children and started to sing pretty late in my life. I started with 17, 18 years to sing. So I don't know. In German, we have a word Quereinsteiger. That means you come. It's not a straight way. It's something.
You came by way of trombone playing in big band jazz. Is that
Yes. In my school, there was a small big band with some curious instruments for a regular big band like clarinets and something like that, and I played a trombone, learned trombone just for that big band, and that was my first contact with music, jazz, and big band music, and later with 17 or 18 years, I started to sing.
So what made you pick up the voice and put down the trombone?
Yeah, I think all the other members of our big band were in the choir, the school choir. And so, in the evenings, they sang. They just took scores and sing for fun. And in one evening, I thought, maybe I can do that as well. And it worked. But it was not so hard as I thought. And it was fun. So that was my start.
And you've kept at it, obviously. Where does the name Kalmus come from?
The name Kalmus is only the initials of the founding members.
Oh.
So nothing special.
Well, then it's time to rename so that it's different initials. Although
maybe we can think about it, but it doesn't. It will not sound as good as Kalmus.
Yeah, it's nothing but you have nothing but consonants now in the letters.
So. Yeah, I think so.
But just a word about the name. Later we discovered a few meanings that we like more than the original. We discovered one day that Kalmus is just the center of the word vocal music.
Hmm.
So we are the center of vocal music.
Well, that works. That certainly works. Your group covers a lot of different musical ground. I mean, your program, for example, here at the Krannert Center is going to start with Bach, but you also have some music of Freddie Mercury's and Sting,
yeah,
and some Seal, among the other artists. How do you go about choosing music for the group?
What we sing in the United States is a program, or are some programs, with a big, big variety of songs. It's a program to introduce us as a group. But in Germany, we sometimes sing programs which are more specific, and then we start usually with an idea, and then we look around and try to find pieces which fit to that idea. If we find many pieces with a German background from German composers or a German text, then we prefer that. But we sing everything we can do
with five voices.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you have on this program certainly some German, but also some French.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
some
English
French,
as well.
Some Italian, some English.
Let's hear a little more of your music, although none of the pieces we're playing for our audience right now are likely to be on your program, but still gives an idea of the range of your work. We had opened with some music by Bach from his motet called Jesu meine Freude, and here is a Nachtlied, or I guess that just means night song. Die Nacht ist kommen, night is coming. What else does the text say here? By Max Reger.
It describes, the night and that we can sleep and trust in God, that He will make all things to a good end. That's the main meaning.
Okay, it's music by Max Reger, performed here by the vocal ensemble Kalmus, which was going to be at the Krannert Center in Urbana Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And you're listening to Live and Local.
Thank you.
Music by Max Reger, called Die Nacht ist kommen, The Night is Coming, performed by Kalmus Vocal Ensemble here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. You can hear them at the Kranitz Center in Urbana Sunday afternoon. And I'm talking with two of their members of out of five, tenor Tobias Pöscher and bass Joe Rüssler. And the others are a countertenor, a baritone, and a soprano. But when the group that initially came out of St. Thomas Boys Choir got together, it was all just men, young men. And at some point, you decided to add, the group decided to add a female voice. Do you know why that decision was made? And is it difficult to integrate the female voice into the other four male voices?
Actually, it's easier to integrate one woman than two. We are of the opinion that the blend between the real men voices, bass, baritone, and tenor, and a countertenor is easier to find than between them and the alto, female alto. So it's easier for us to work with four men and one woman than three men and two women. We know many men's ensembles only with men, and it's hard to find the variety of pieces you can find for mixed choirs.
Well, I saw that you gave, you participated in a master class at some point with the King Singers mm-hmm. from England, and of course they're all male vocal. Are they quintet or sextet?
Yeah, they are six men.
Yeah, six men. Yep. And I thought in listening to you that there is definitely a resemblance in between your sound and theirs to a point. What do you think you gained from working with the King Singers?
A lot of things. Some have to do with the performance. It's the way you stay, the way you go on stage, the way you stay behind the stands and such things. About the singing, there are similarities, yes. Of course, they do many things right. And it would be stupid not to make things only different to make them different. So we discovered that many pieces work better if we do it's similar to the King Singers. For example, the King Singers often uses air in the sound. If you ask a singing teacher, he or she would say that's not allowed. But in ensemble singing, it's allowed, and it's a good way to create colors, and that's important for the audience to make different colors and to create different sounds.
What does it mean to have air in the sound?
I can show it.
Sure.
If I talk at the moment, it's a bit hard sound. It's a nasal and it's very clear. And with air, it's like, you know?
There's a little less tone.
It's hard to show at the telephone because it sounds funny.
No, I think it comes through there. there's more breath.
Yes.
Sound.
Yeah.
Behind it, so that the King Singers use some of that. I mean, now that you mentioned it, I do hear that when I listen to them. And that helps with the colorations, or at least bringing in variety to the sound.
Yes, it helps a lot because you can do so many vocal colors in the music. You can sing just like an opera singer or someone else, but you can also do these breath these colors with more breath and just like some pop singers do, and so there's a huge variety of vocal colors between these two techniques.
Well, since you mentioned some pop singers' sounds, why don't we hear some music that's by a contemporary pop singer and pianist and composer, Billy Joel, since you do a fair amount of music by such singers. This is a combination of two songs, Lullaby and Goodnight, My Angel, and we're hearing the Kalmus Vocal Ensemble here on Live and Local.
Goodnight, my angel, time to close your eyes and save these questions for another day.
That was music by Billy Joel, Lullaby and Goodnight, My Angel, sung by the vocal ensemble Kalmus. They're going to be at the Krannert Center in Urbana Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, and two of their number are my guests on this portion of Live and Local, tenor Tobias Pesha and bassist, I keep wanting to call you a bassist, like bass player, but you bass singer, Joe Rüssler. Talk a little bit about your affinity for some of the more pop-type music. I notice in your program here, you do all the classical stuff first, and then you do a nice set from Robert Schumann, and then you end with some of the more pop kind of music. Why do you separate those types of music? Is it partly because of the way you have to sing, or...?
Not only the way we sing, but it's because of the program in general. So we wanted to start with more classical and serious sacred music by Bach, and go through the program just like a timeline. I don't know if that's the right word.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to sing some sacred music first, and then go to England. Purcell, we have three songs by Purcell, and then go to the German romantic music by Schumann, and we'll end with pop songs and arrangements of pop songs.
Do you make your own arrangements of these pieces?
Yes. I think they are all by the group or by members of the group. So I think we're going to sing The Crazy Little Thing Called Love from Queen, the band Queen,
mm-hmm.
from England, and the arrangement is by our baritone Ludwig Böhme, or the song Bongo Bong from Manu Chao. It's an arrangement by our countertenor Sebastian. So we often do the arrangements by our own, but also ask some other arrangers to write pieces for us. For example, Philip Lawson by the King Singers.
Joe, I see that you've arranged this song by Seal called "Kiss from a Rose."
Yes.
And what was the challenge for you to turn that song into one for unaccompanied five voices?
Oh, it's always a challenge. You have to simulate all the instruments and you have to find something special, which is something different from the original song. Only a copy is not a good idea. Even in this case, because Seal is hard to copy. I think it's impossible. Nobody can sing like Seal. But we have no Seal. So I had to find other ways to make this happen. And first you have to look after how high or low can anybody sing, and how high or low can the solo be, and maybe who will like to sing a verse from that song, and in which key that could happen, and then you have to think about the rest. How thick should this arrangement be in the verses? And so I liked that variety, not all singers sing all the time. So it's a bigger variety in sounds. That was one of the ideas when I started to write this. And the song must be the song at the end. You cannot change everything. So it's you have to find a good balance between your own ideas and the original feeling and spirit of the song.
You still want people to be able to recognize it as
yes.
Kiss from a Rose.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, that is one of many songs that are going to be on a concert Sunday afternoon by the vocal ensemble Kalmus from Leipzig, Germany. And they're performing at the Kranitz Center Sunday afternoon at 3:00. The program is has the theme of emotions. And we've been sampling some other songs in their repertory, and we'll go out with one of those. This is by Fredo Jung called Die Vogelhochzeit. What is that? What does that mean?
Die Vogelhochzeit. It's a German folk song, and Fredo Jung did this arrangement many years ago. It was one of the first commissioned works to Kalmus, and it has a huge variety of other works from the classical background. So you will find some themes from Wagner operas, or you will find other folk songs in there. So it's a very funny and colorful piece of music.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. What does the title mean?
Wedding of the Birds.
And is performed here by Kalmus. And our guests on Live and Local have been tenor Tobias Pöscher, who was just speaking, and bass Joe Rissler, who was speaking just before that. Thank you all very much for joining us, and safe travels as you come out to Urbana for your concert.
Thank you very much.
I was going to try cutting out of that song slightly early, but it's worth hanging in to the end. It was music by Fredo Jung called Die Vogelhochzeit, The Bird's Wedding, sung by Kalmus, a quintet of unaccompanied singers, four men, one woman, and they're going to be at the Kranert Center Sunday afternoon at 3:00. You're listening to Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and support for our show today comes in part from Sinfonia da Camera, presenting Extraordinary Voices tonight, Friday, November 5th, at 7:30 p.m. at the Kranert Center for the Performing Arts. Baritone Ricardo Herrera joins Sinfonia in the celebration of the works of William Schumann. More information is available at 333-6280. And we have support from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with a wide array of foods from around the world, including cheeses, olives, spices, hot sauces, olive oils, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio. Also Sunday is a concert by The Chorale at McKinley Presbyterian Church in Champaign. It's 7:00 Sunday night. It's their annual Celebration of Life concert. This year, a musical tribute to those who serve, and also featuring guest conductor Dr. Craig Jessup, who is a former conductor of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. And this is his third appearance with The Chorale, which has to say something about his confidence in their singing and his pleasure that he's taken in working with the chorale before and with its director, Julie Beiler, who is my guest on this portion of Live and Local. Thanks for coming in, Julie.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
And I know we tried to hook up with Dr. Jessup, and we had some scheduling problems on our end, so I'm sorry I won't get to talk with him, because I was looking forward to that.
Well, he's in the air as we speak.
He is in the air. He probably would get in trouble if we tried a cell phone interview right now with the authorities, but I'm always glad to talk to you for these concerts. So talk to me a little bit about your relationship with Craig Jessup. When did it start, and how has it managed to continue?
Well, it started when I was listening to a Mormon Tabernacle recording of Civil War songs, because that was going to be my program for one spring, and that was in 2006. And I thought, well, it would be a great idea to just maybe have the conductor come and conduct a few of these. So innocently, I called the office at the Mormon Tabernacle and asked if he ever did anything like that. And she said, well, certainly. And so, would you like to talk to him? And she patched me through, and he picked up his own phone and answered. And I, rather startled, told him my story and invited him, and he came, which to me was an enormous exhibit of faith, I guess, never having heard. So he came and apparently had a good enough time that before he left, I invited him back again. And he came in 2008, and that was at the time when he was transitioning between the Tabernacle and his position at Utah State University. And actually, we were on the air, and I think one of the hosts invited him back again, so that took care of my job. And he said he would come. And when asked the other day about why he kept coming, his answer was, because Julie Beiler won't take no for an answer. However, he went on to say graciously.
Why does that not surprise me?
He graciously went on to say that he feels at home here, and we treat him well and feels like he's coming home. Also, he had issued us an invitation this past summer to come out there to Utah State and spend a week at what I call music camp. We had 6 hours of rehearsing a day, and we gave three concerts, two in Utah and one up in the Sun Valley Pavilion in Idaho. So to answer your question, we are alike thinkers in terms of what we like to hear from choirs, and I think we respect each other. He understands what it is to work with volunteers because, as he pointed out, the Mormon Tabernacle is all volunteers. Mm. Yes, indeed, they're auditioned, but they're volunteers, and I think it takes a special understanding to work with that kind of a chorus.
I would have been interested to ask him, and I wonder if he mentioned this on his interview on Keeping the Faith with you on Sunday, the difference between working with a chorus of 300-some and working with the chorale, which is, what, 60, 70 voices?
We're 70. This, however, is a festival chorus weekend, so we're bringing in 35 of our closest singing friends, so we'll be about 110. His principles are pretty much the same. When I asked him, and when he tells choirs, he said, what you need to do, and he told us that out there, and we were about 260 for the summer. He said, you need to just work hard and be kind, which is a really interesting concept because hard work does cover a lot of things. But he requires the same sorts of things that he has always required of us. He works us hard.
And where's the be kind part? Where does that come in?
The be kind is to each other, and to realize that a festival weekend, you know, is different than a concert. For a concert, you rehearse and rehearse and rehearse, and you go and you perform, and you know everything ahead of time. A festival is where you bring people in, and they will come in for the first time tomorrow, Saturday morning. We'll all be together for the first time tomorrow, and we'll rehearse in the morning and in the afternoon with the orchestra, and Sunday afternoon with the orchestra, and then put the concert together Sunday night. So it requires a lot of understanding, a lot of kind flexibility and patience, I think.
But the core of the chorale has been rehearsing regularly.
We have. We also, though, have a New Year's Eve event coming up at the Virginia Theater December 31st, so we've been sandwiching in a good deal of material here and there.
So rehearsing a couple of concerts simultaneously.
Indeed.
I think you always call this fall concert a celebration of life.
We have for about the last 15 years called it a celebration of life.
Where does that come from?
Well, originally, Heath and Vaughn Funeral Home came to us and asked if we would sing for their the people who have lost people, their loved ones, sometime during the holiday season, to help them deal with their grief. So we put together concerts geared for that purpose. Over time, the chorale kind of wanted, I think, more ownership of that event. And so it served its purpose, and we've kept it going as a celebration of life that is now all singing and no speaking, no that sort of thing. But we find it's an appropriate title. You can make it be almost anything. You can celebrate anything. And certainly we are celebrating those who serve. And when you first hear that, you might think only those in uniform. But no, what I want, my vision for this concert is to lift up all of those who serve in the interest of peace, not just from our country, but others. And in light of that, we're going to begin the program with Sibelius, the tune Finlandia, and which speaks about our country and every country having the same passion for peace and the same interest.
That's a wonderful tune. Let's hear a little bit of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir in one of the tunes that you're going to be doing on this concert. Well, let's just hear it first,
okay.
And I think people will eventually recognize it after the opening crashing chords. And this is Craig Jessup leading the Mormon Tabernacle Choir and the orchestra at Temple Square in a disc called Spirit of America here on Live and Local. Reverberant sounds of the Mormon Tabernacle and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir with orchestra from their disc called Spirit of America, Dr. Craig Jessup conducting them in Give Me Your Tired, Your Poor, music by Irving Berlin, text by Emma Lazarus, and the arrangement by Roy Ringwald. And you can hear that song and many others of... well, I guess you could call it a patriotic program, although Julie Byler, the director of the chorale, which is going to be singing this concert Sunday night at 7, did a nice job of sort of qualifying that patriotic in a not jingoistic sense, not exclusive to our country.
Exactly. Inclusivity. And that there are a lot of people who work for patriotism and peace who don't wear uniforms.
Well, the tired, your poor, you know, who have come here.
Right. The welcoming doors of the country for those who are looking for a better life. Yes. Those who... and then on one piece that we're doing, that Dr. Jessup is conducting with the chorale itself, is called Canticles of America. And it's very, I don't understand how John Rutter, who's an Englishman, wrote this piece, but it could have been written on the plains of the West, here in the Midwest. It speaks about our land and the pride of our land and the process of sowing and growing and harvesting and working. And he makes that analogy of sowing seeds. Seeds grow to plants if you add a little water, and he takes it further with humanity and men, boys grow to men, so forth. So it's quite a lovely, patriotic, but not in a trite or, as you would say, traditional way.
Yeah, you know, John Rutter's an interesting kind of guy. You know, he's written so much sacred music, but I learned some years ago that he's an atheist himself, and...
Hard to believe.
No, not, you know, not American, and yet he can write a very American-sounding piece. I don't know that piece at all.
And another one we're doing that is not, you wouldn't think, written by an atheist. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace, which, of course, are the words of St. Francis of Assisi, but John Rutter set this to...
Oh, that's also his...
To music, yes.
His melody. So, you know, I asked a little earlier what was the connection between Craig Jessup, who's going to be your guest conductor for this... festival weekend, and we should say that he's not conducting the whole program. You're conducting some of it, and he's conducting some of it.
I usually give myself the privilege of two or three numbers, and then with a sigh of relief, give him the baton. But yes, I'll do the Finlandia, and then we're doing a Hebrew piece that talks about how things will be better next year. And then we will also do one called Inscription of Hope, which the lyrics of which were taken from the walls of a Cologne in Cologne, Germany. Written by the Jews who were waiting their horrific fate of extermination. But it's full of hope. I believe in God even when he's silent. I believe in the sun even when it's not shining, and may there someday be peace. So it's really amazing to think that other countries are as focused on peace as we are.
What do you think is the chorale's, the members of the chorale, the core group, what is their affinity for Craig Jessup in turn?
He treats them as though they were professionals, in the sense that he asks everything of them that he would ask of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir when he was there, for instance. But he's kind in the way that he does it, and he doesn't lose his patience. He never gives up pushing for the best, and they appreciate that. And he, on the off hours, is friendly and accessible and makes himself at home. And they are just, we're just plain folks, you know, and they appreciate that.
And he obviously does too.
I certainly would think so.
You've got a couple of guest performers on this concert, including one who was inadvertently delayed from your spring concert, which was your annual Young Artists concert.
Right. We'll just pretend it's been a long intermission for Chris Holman, who is an organist, but unfortunately fell on the ice and broke his ankle and had to have surgery and pins and plates and so forth. So he's now healthy, well, and he's going to open the program, playing that Dobson Tracker at McKinley, which will be a wonderful acoustic venue.
It's a wonderful organ.
Yes,
wonderful organ.
And he'll play the finale of the Vedder Symphony. Chris has also gone on to win the National Albert Schweitzer Organ Competition, so he's got quite a career ahead of him. And then, as you mentioned, Elizabeth Campbell Buckley, who sang with us in the spring, has agreed to come back and sing with the chorus, first of all. But also, we came up with the idea that she did, actually, that she would like to sing something and dedicate it to those who have lost their lives in the interest of peace. So she'll be doing the Pia Jesu, the Durfle, grant them eternal rest, is that translation, basically. So that will be dedicated and sung by Elizabeth.
That's from the Requiem of Maurice Durufle. It's one of my favorite pieces.
It's lovely.
Of any kind.
Yes, with organ and cello.
Yeah. So you're not going to try to use the strings section for that?
No, we're just going to have Barbara Hedlund play cello, mm-hmm. and our own accompanist, Dr. Michael Hammer, will get to play that Drecker organ.
Yeah, he's a fine pianist, and I haven't heard him play organ. I've only heard him play piano.
Oh, he's wonderful.
That's what I've heard.
Yep.
And McKinley Presbyterian is a relatively new venue for you, isn't it?
It's the first time we will have been at McKinley. Mm. As you know, we're like you in the Prairie Ensemble. We're kind of nomads in our performing. And when we have festival weekends, we're performing on Sunday nights, and several churches have other things going on Sunday nights. But McKinley has opened their doors. And you talked about reverberation, and as you know, I think there's not a stitch of fabric in that building, so it's all wood and the...
wooden brick.
The acoustics should be, for the singers, just marvelous. Looking forward to it.
Doesn't have the reverberation time that the Mormon Tabernacle does, but still, it's very nice.
Well, reverberation time can get to be too long, too.
Yeah, it can. It's hard to find pure harmonies sometimes if you have harmonies overlapping with the harmonies that you sang 4 minutes ago.
Hard to start when you haven't stopped yet.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Right.
Well, Julie, you know, the time goes so fast on here, and I want to be sure to play a little more music from this disc that includes some music you're singing on your concert. But it will remind folks that you are Julie Beiler. You're the longtime director of, founding director, right?
Yes.
Of the chorale?
28 years.
28 years. And they haven't kicked you out yet. That says something positive, too.
I don't know. Maybe no one else would do this.
The concert is Sunday night at 7 o'clock, McKinley Presbyterian Church. That is in Champaign, on the University of Illinois campus town area, 5th and John Streets. There's no admission charge for the concert, but you gratefully accept gifts for the Young Artist Program.
We do, and I want to mention that there's free parking in the deck across the street, and also, please set your clocks back an hour on Saturday so you can arrive on time.
Yeah, and get an extra hour's sleep.
Right.
Or stay up and party an extra hour, whatever you want to do. There's also a parking on 6th Street, another garage there.
That's right. Plenty of parking.
I know there's a myth that there isn't parking, but there's actually quite a lot of it. So I'm glad you mentioned that. Want to just mention a few other performances going on in our area before we run out of time completely. There's an interesting sounding concert by Chicago Farmer with Fiddle and the Pain, somewhat folk music, at the Red Herring Coffee House. It's at 10:30 tonight. That's on the U of I campus. The Jazz Lab Band at Illinois Wesleyan University is playing in Bloomington at Westbrook Auditorium. That's at 7:30 tonight. Impala, Folk and Blues, are at the Huber's West End in Champaign. That's at 8 o'clock tonight. Symphony of the Camera is playing tonight at the Krannert Center at 7:30. There's a faculty artist concert by violinist Anna Cromwell and pianist and organist Richard Rossi. That's at the Dvorak Concert Hall in Charleston tonight at 7:30. The In Your Ear Big Band is at the Cowboy Monkey tonight at 6:30 in downtown Champaign. The musical Hairspray is this weekend at Champaign Central High School. And the Prairie Dogs are at the Iron Post tonight at 5 o'clock in downtown Urbana. And there's lots of other things going on, but that's really what we have time to mention. Support for our show comes in part from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines for the series collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held in the Bouvant's Tasting Room on Saturdays from noon to 4. This Saturday's tasting features an array of Italian and domestic wines. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WYLFM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266AF Urbana and W293AF Danville. And since we've mentioned a couple of times music by John Rutter, here is a piece of his, or a portion of it. This is called Distant Land, Craig Jessup leading the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.